Steve Gilbert of MLB.com, who covers the Diamondbacks. We love having Steve. He's a regular with me.
Guys, it's great to be here.
Yeah.
What a beautiful day. Well, the sun's kind of disappeared a little bit, but it's beautiful out. Okay.
All right. Taylor Clark is my spotlight. What do you think?
I think Taylor Clark does it, what they like to say is he does a great job pitching to the game plan. Now, they're very strategic here. They got Dan Heron helps put together a game plan. And then sends it over to the pitching coach, and then they decide how to, you know, explain it to the individual pitcher. So Taylor Clark's a guy that has some control and command and is able to pitch to kind of what they set up for him, and that's really what kind of was a key to his success. He's made two big league appearances, once out of the bullpen, three inning save, and then a start in Tampa in which he pitched pretty well for, I think, six innings.
Six innings, 7 hits, 2 runs.
Yeah, and I think he would have stayed in the rotation, but they played a long game. And it was coming off a series in Denver, so they had to bring up a fresh arm. So, unfortunately, he got bumped back down again.
Well, he hasn't seen the Giants yet. All right?
Well, you know, and you know how this goes. You know, the first time around, it's, you know, it's new for everybody. And so they're still trying to get a book on him. Now they have some video to look at, and we'll see how that plays out today.
All right, Adam, go ahead.
I always call that the Ryan Jensen experiment from back in. The Giants had a 13-win guy back in 2002. First time through the league was dominant. You could call it the Dontrell Willis effect, too. Once guys get a book on you, you're a little bit easier to hit, right?
Yeah, you got to be able to adjust to their adjustments.
So coming off of what we were just talking about with Rich Waltz, about the detonating of a team, it sort of seemed like the Diamondbacks did that last year. They traded Goldschmidt, got some pieces in. You bring in Luke Weaver, who's now finally becoming the pitcher that it seemed like he was going to be. Are they on that same path of we're going to detonate this thing, or has their early success now changed that roadmap philosophy for the near future?
We talked to GM Mike Hazen about that at the winter meetings. As soon as they traded Goldschmidt, his phone started ringing off the hook because other GMs figured, with, you know, you're going to lose Pollock in free agency, you're going to lose Corbin in free agency. You traded Goldschmidt, so you're tearing down. So, hey, how about Robbie Ray? How about David Peralta? And he said, no, they're not tearing down. They're going to try to do a retooling on the clock.
We've seen that.
So that was the kind of the line that they wanted to walk. And, you know, so they expected to be, they hoped to be competitive this year, but they also knew that they weren't necessarily all in terms of trading any more prospects or giving up some of their top-end talent. But they're trying to kind of have a bridge year this year where they're at least competitive.
Well, let's look what's on the field, though. Let's look at the ages of people on the field. Now, Peralta, I know, got injured. But look at his age, Marte, Ahmed. Those are guys who can play, but they're still in the early years of their career.
Yeah, Marte for sure is. And, you know, they look at, you know, some of the other guys they have around them. Nick Ahmed is entering the prime of his career, you know. So, and then they supplemented that a little bit with Adam Jones. They really got a bargain with Adam Jones. No one, you know, Adam said nobody else made him any offer at all until the Diamondbacks did, went 2 weeks into March, which is just kind of hard to believe. And he's, you know, maybe not a center fielder anymore, but he's doing an adequate job, it seems like, in right, at least from the eye test. And he's a good leader in the clubhouse, and he's hit a little bit for him.
It's so funny the different paths you can take, because the retool thing we saw in San Francisco, I'd say 2 years ago, even last year, going to get McCutcheon, getting Longoria, that's saying we still have a core, we're just going to try to toe that line, and if we're successful, maybe we make a move. Do you see the Diamondbacks as a team that if they're playing as well as they are right now in, say, a month and a half, are they going to look to make a move to get better?
So I think that the difference here is in the past 2 years, they were all in, and so they would make that move at the
Escobar last year.
Correct,
get a 40-double guy.
Yeah. Matt Andrees, and, you know, year before that, J.D. Martinez.
Right.
This year, they're going to have to really be convinced that they're in it in order to trade somebody like that. So if they're kind of right around 500, I don't think they do it. If they're below 500, I think you could see them sell some pieces. I think you could see them sell David Peralta, Robbie Ray, and continue to build that minor league. They believe they have some guys on the come here in the minor leagues, which is maybe what the Giants didn't have when they were doing their
It's a little bit different situation.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks have some young players who are ready to blossom, and they had some guys in the big leagues that could as well, including Robbie Ray, who is still going to be here. And look, the Luke Weaver trade has worked out well. The catcher, didn't they?
Carson Kelly, yes.
So good. He's what do you think about the guy who got hit 3 times last night?
You know, I said to him, I saw him in a clubhouse after the game, and I said, do you set off metal detectors in the airport? Like, is that magnet that you have for the ball?
What's just going on? Hit? 29 at-bats. He's been hit 7 times.
Well, and he's also been hit another 7 times in the minor leagues, I believe, if you look at what he's done in Reno. So this is something that's been throughout his career. He does not shy away from being hit with the ball. If you look, he just kind of turns a little bit, so it hits him in a less vulnerable spot, but he doesn't, like, dive out of the way. He's not, like, you know, He just takes it. He wears it.
He wasn't crowding the plate. Different guys hit him last night.
He said that he noticed early in his career that they were going to work him inside with fastballs. So he just accepted that he was going to get hit, and so he doesn't dodge it. He just kind of turns so it hits him in a less vulnerable spot. He says it's good for his on-base percentage.
It's great for his
on-base
percentage.
Like a 460 on-base, and he's hitting 190, or 170 or something.
Hey, it's
crazy.
A gift, apparently.
Crazy. Corky Miller. He's another Corky Miller.
We're talking Corky Miller, the former backup catcher
for the Reds.
Who
got hit like 70 times in the minor leagues in 1 year, something like that.
Well, we were looking at guys who had been hit 3 times in their career in one game. It happened to Reed Johnson 3 different occasions. He was hit 3 times in a game. One time it happened twice in like a 2-week span, which is just that's unbelievable baseball stuff.
Well, it's interesting. There's always something every day.
Yeah.
Then someone got 5 hits last night, didn't they?
Yeah,
there's another name.
Eldemar Vargas.
Who's he?
He hits a home run.
Where'd he come from?
He's a younger player they've had in the minor leagues. He had the longest hitting streak in minor league baseball last year, matter of fact.
Triple A.
They find these guys.
So, David Peralta came out of independent ball, by the way. So they've done a nice job of mining independent ball and kind of finding talent wherever they can. And Vargas is somebody that just hasn't gotten a lot of playing time for them, but he's hit at the AAA level, and they'd like to get him some more time at the big leagues.
Can the wild card come out of the West? And I realize it's only, it's May, but I think it's something we're starting to see a little bit of who's who in baseball.
It's possible. That NL Central is tough, and you just have to wonder if they're not going to beat up on each other so much that'll deny them that second wild card. But I think at least one of the wild cards is going to come out of the Central. We'll see what happens in the West. The Dodgers certainly are kind of running away with things at the moment, it appears.
Yeah, the second wild card for me, and we did this on our podcast this week. We talked about it. The second wild card for me, I don't know, could be 86. If as Steve says, they
88
beat
88 games somewhere in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and you don't know where Philly and Atlanta could beat up on each other.
Yeah, and you never know what happens towards the trade deadline if certain teams, decide
Pittsburgh?
They're out of it and they'd start
How about
selling.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that NL Central, even the Reds, I know that they're in last place, but the Reds have a positive run differential and they're in last place
pitch.
In that division.
Yeah.
Boy, Puig has gotten hot all of a sudden.
I know he's not popular here in San Francisco,
no,
but he's kind of fun to watch.
I love watching.
I
got to
say, he plays with a certain flair.
How would you feel if he was on a team that you were covering?
I think it'd be fascinating. I mean, those guys are, look, when you're a reporter, you're just looking for things to write about, right? And I think he brings something, whether it's positive or negative, he brings something to cover every single game, it seems.
He might,
right?
oversleep and not show up.
He might hit 3 home runs, or he might upset Madison Bumgarner, and that's a story, and,
Does Greinke give you that thrill?
Oh, yeah, man. Zach Greinke, what a quote. No, We talked to him
the
once
worst
every
in
5
baseball,
days.
Maybe?
One of the most,
right?
He had a great one this last time he pitched, or 2 times ago when he pitched, and we were asking about his injury. He left early because he had that abdominal injury. And so somebody, he was kind of vague about it a little bit, and so somebody said, can you, Mark Brown asked him, can you be a little bit more articulate in how you describe it? He said, no, I think I've been pretty good about it. I probably could be better. But I don't want to.
That wouldn't fly here. It's not going to work here. Steve, great to have you. Thank you so much for stopping
by.
Always my pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Steve Gilbert, MLB.com. More coming up right here.